When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Ask not the Beatles.
Sometimes you feel like a... That means that it is not illegal. Sometimes you tear down this wall. Here's Johnny. Hey, Luke, may the force be with you. It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And in for Dave Schwann this morning, Mr. Roger Badish, once again, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. I wanted to do the hi, Dave. Hi, Dave.
Nice.
I love it when you guys do that.
Nice. You know, I got to tell you, it is... it's pretty crazy about this eclipse coming up.
Yeah.
Now that I understand what the hell's happening, you know, it's you talk about this is history. This is it right here.
It is major history. Who was alive 100 years ago?
Rosemarie.
No,
it's pretty. No, yeah, right. Who who last
Seriously,
witnessed
very
this?
Few people.
Very few
were alive when this this totality.
Yeah.
Happened. Now, I've been through some eclipse. You and I have both been through some partial eclipse.
You know, I took clients out Friday night, and we were out till about 2 in the morning, and I experienced one myself.
Thank you very much.
Hello. Hello. Hello, 1-2. so we'll see what happens. All right, let's jump into this. 1853, the first potato chip was introduced.
No
Popular
way.
Versions say this happened on August 24th, and versions by the late 19th century attributed to the dish to George Crumb. He was a cook at Moon's Lake House who was trying to appease an unhappy customer. The customer kept sending his fried potatoes back, complaining they were too thick.
Oh.
Frustrated, he sliced the potatoes razor thin, fried them until crisp, and seasoned them with extra salt. To his surprise, the customers loved them. They soon called them Saratoga chips, a name that persisted at least into the mid-20th century.
I wonder what the, if I was Johnny Carson, I'd want to know what that first chip looked like.
Yeah.
Was it a profile of Abraham Lincoln?
Sorry, I forgot about the chip lady you're talking about.
Right, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And then he, like, pretended he ate one of them from her collection.
That
remember that?
Oh, my God.
That was hilarious.
That. Yeah, he got her on that one. Now, locally, Jay's Chips was established in Chicago 90 years ago, back in 1927, but left 10 years ago in 2007. It's now made by Snyder's of Hanover, known for their pretzel, but we were kind of a big potato, and I remember as a grammar school kid taking a field chip trip.
Hello,
field trip to the Jay's. I'm getting tired. I can tell the Jay's potato chip.
You went to the factory?
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
a field trip.
Love Jay's potato chips.
Well, here is a classic commercial.
Can I have some of your Jay's potato chips? Well, okay, but just one. Two? Well, maybe. But first, I have to run around the block. Okay. And dress up Spike in your sister's clothes, and then teach him how to walk on two legs and play the trumpet. So,
All right, not the best quality, but I remember tagline.
Yeah, can't stop eating them Jay's potato chips. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
1891, Thomas Edison patented the motion picture camera, and of course, Chicago was really the motion picture capital, SNA Studios, here long before Hollywood.
Yeah, the silence. Many of your big comedic stars in the silent movies got their start here before they said, you know, we don't like filming during the wintertime. We want to make movies all year long, so they head out to the West Coast.
Yep, made sense.
Yeah.
1918, the Chicago Cubs win the earliest pennant ever.
Let's go,
Yeah, Cubbies.
The season ended on September 2nd. The Cubs clinched the National League pennant with a 1-0 win over the Cincinnati Reds in a season that was shortened due to war restrictions. So this is back in
1918.
Yeah, World War One.
Yeah.
The Cubs would go on to lose to Babe Ruth and the Boston Red Sox in the World Series 4-2. But yeah, you know, there was all kinds of changes during the war.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah. 1955, the Guinness Book of World Records was first published. 1963, you want to talk about how important this speech is in the last week that we've had with the Charlottesville issues.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Martin Luther King Jr. delivers his I Have a Dream speech addressing civil rights at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Let's take a listen.
Sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
So here we are. Yeah. How many years later? We still can't figure this out.
Yeah. Just amazing. That was an extremely awe-inspiring moment. When we watched that broadcast. And then as I grew up and started learning more and more about history and everything behind that speech, I found the speech that he gave, I think it was within a week or two before that, where he said, he delivered in a church, he says, I may not get there with you.
Yeah.
Where he was kind of prophetic about what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And, what a man.
Yep.
What a man.
1963. Yeah. Much later note, 1964, Walt Disney's Mary Poppins was released. Here is a clip, a very rare clip, of Julie Andrews and Walt Disney at the actual premiere in 1964.
Here comes Mary Poppins now.
That's the only way she'd come, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Julie Andrews, Mary Poppins.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just wonderful. It's so good to have the star and the storyteller. I can stand here and ask Julie 100 questions.
Please
but
don't.
I won't. Is this the first motion picture that you've made here in Hollywood?
Completely. The first motion picture I've made anywhere.
Have you ever worked for a nicer man?
Never. And I don't think I ever will again either.
How did you pick Julie for the part?
Well, I went to New York and I caught the performance of Camelot. Of course, I'd heard her records and things, but it was Camelot that I saw her in. And then I went backstage and I tried to talk her into the thing, and I tried to convince her I was capable of making a picture with live actors as well as cartoons. I didn't know what she thought of me and everything. I think I put on quite an act there that night, didn't I?
Very impressed, Walt.
Well, you must have been impressed, because all I can tell you is the genius of Julie Andrews and the genius of Walt Disney have made probably one of the all-time great motion pictures that we've ever made in this crazy town of Hollywood.
Which you I know, would agree. That's one of my favorites, one of the family favorites.
Could you say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious backwards? I used to be able to, because
Julie Andrews
in the song,
can.
They do it.
They do it.
Yeah. Now, did you ever watch the movie where they showed how they got the story rights from the woman who...
Yes, with Tom Hanks.
Yes, and
yes.
What a great movie. And then Guardians of the Galaxy 2, there is a reference to it.
That's cool.
And where they are floating down, the one character is using a weapon that he has that allows him to float, and he floats down, and he's holding it up like an umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And the lead character says, you look like Mary Poppins. And, of course, the other guy has no reference. And he says, was he cool? And the other character says, yeah, real cool. And the other guy yells, "I'm Mary Poppins, y'all."
Nice.
It's nice, great.
Nice. Here's a little reference to supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious. If you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Of course, I was afraid to speak when I was just a lad. My father gave me nails and tweak and told me I was bad. But then one day I learned a word that sightly I can know.
The biggest word you ever heard.
I just want people to wake up to that going,
I know.
What the hell is that?
Dick Van Dyke with a great British accent.
Classic. Actually, next week we're going to do a Wally Pedrazic's going to join us. We're going to talk about classic television, best shows by decade, and then we're going to play... honestly, some of the coolest interviews that we've done on the show, and it's going to be Dick Van Dyke, Carol Burnett, Joyce Randolph of the Honeymooners, and Norman Lear. So that's going to be our show.
Man.
Next week, kind of a little flashback show.
And you're going to let me sit in with you on this? You're going to? Oh my gosh!
Oh, and Barbara Eden too. But these are all classic interviews that we've done, of course, already. Yeah. But it's great to pair them together and do. I like doing theme shows in the summer.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, some fun stuff there. Let's see here. 19. I'll be right with you. 65.
Okay.
Was when the Beatles spent an evening with Elvis Presley.
Yes.
So, and there's Elvis singing a Beatles tune.
Yeah.
So it was August 1965 when the Beatles spent 4 hours at Elvis's Bel Air home in California.
Wow.
What really happened that night when Colonel Parker and Brian Epstein brought these people together, you know, nothing could be taped. Nothing could be recorded.
Right.
They were very clear about there's no recordings, either visual or audio, at the meeting. And, of course, there's different perspectives on what happened. Some of them say they jammed, but for the most part, they just kind of hung out and talk to one another. But how cool would that have been to be in the room for that? Right?
Just fantastic. I mean, both acts, let me call them that.
Yeah.
Just, I'm surprised the Beatles didn't end up in Vegas.
During his 1968 comeback special, Elvis made a rare public statement about the Beatles. Because, you know, you never, I mean, these two, the Beatles and Elvis, bigger than life. He said, I really like a lot of the new groups, the Beatles, the Beards, and the whatever, he said. However, it was a statement he made to President Nixon that will also be remembered as his assessment of the Beatles. In an effort to convince the president to issue him a Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs badge, Elvis may have been saying what he thought Nixon wanted to hear. In any event, he quotes Nixon aide as saying he heard Elvis tell Nixon that the Beatles were kind of anti-American.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, kind of crazy. A little insider
trick. Yeah, that's interesting. Didn't he, like, hang out with Nixon at the White House one time?
Yeah,
he did. Big visit?
Yep. All right, and finally, in 1967, it was the final TV episode of The Fugitive.
Oh, great show. That thing was, like, one of the top-rated episodes for a long, long time.
It was the number one highly rated episodes in the history of television, I think, until MASH. And then, of course, all the Super Bowls that came after that.
Well, we're not talking sporting events. We're talking regularly programmed, scheduled
TV shows. It is still up there. Absolutely up there. But, you know, it came long before the Harrison Ford movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that those episodes still stand up. If you know, it's one of those things where I just want to, especially in the wintertime, you know, you got the fire lit, you're just kind of hanging out, cuddling up, grabbing a blanket. Yeah. Watching a couple of these episodes was fabulous.
Quinn Martin production.
Quinn Martin production. And who was the voiceover for The Fugitive?
Oh, gosh, I didn't know.
William Conrad, Cannon.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So you'll hear his voice in this. So this is really it was a two-part episode where the one-armed man was finally caught. David Jansen played the fugitive. Let's take a listen.
Let me go. Like to claw my eyes out. I didn't mean to hit her so hard.
Tuesday, September 5th, the day the running stopped.
Love, love, love that show. Now I'm going to have to go watch some.
Right, now we're hooked. I got to find it again because, you know, I'm a big Prime guy.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Now I got to find it on Prime because they bring a lot of those old shows back for free.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's right. All right, The Fugitive final episode.